Yeah, don't get us wrong. There's still going to be plenty of randomness to the show.
Of course, that's the name of the show.
Football,
the other name is Off Topic.
But this is football. What you want, we've got and it might be hard to listen, but it makes your rage glisten. Our voice is about the games, and you know we talk about the latest goings, more so than any other, and our Mountain West matters. Well, will you listen to this podcast too? And you rant about this podcast too. Just a side where Jeremy analyzes some matches and kiss the grin the bridges. We do some good interviews. And you know, from Fresno all the way to Boise, from Logan down to Aston, they're calling out our name. Where will you listen to this podcast too? And you love this podcast too.
All right, and welcome back to the Mountain West Connection show here. I'm Jeremy, hanging out with not Chris today. We're actually joined by, if you read him on the website, Matt goes by Matthew K, but just Matt for this evening. So say hello to everybody out there for filling the, should we say, decent-sized shoes of Chris?
Yeah, let's go ahead and say that.
We don't want to say small or big, but that's whatever.
Yeah, I told the internet earlier I'm coming in off the bench, and I hope to be adequate. But I do apologize. I do not have a catchy theme song.
No, we're still going to play it. No, it's still going to be played. That doesn't matter. It's still going to be there, so you don't need to worry about it. That's always going to be there unless we make up a new one. Because, no, once that's it doesn't matter. It's fine.
Well, then I will give all the credit for that to Chris.
There we go. Yeah, he decided to make it up. He sung it. He put the music behind it. I just happened to tweak the beginning and end so you don't hear the clicks, and bam. So did you know the song when you first heard it?
Yes, I did.
Okay, do you like the song?
The song's all right.
It's all right. Okay, yeah. Some people are saying it's karaoke night. I'm like, well, we're just screwing around. What do you expect? It's not like we're professional singers as well. Don't have all these same talents.
It's off topic.
Yeah, that's exactly what we tell them. Like, we could start off topic. We'll get to the mullets of Brock Hecking later. If you see about that, what James Winston said about his mullet?
I did not.
Okay, no. We will get to that. We'll get to that shortly. But first off, here's the game plan for tonight. There's three teams on a bye, which it took us about, what'd you say, 4 or 5 minutes to find out who was on a bye this week?
Yes, it did.
It took us a bit to figure that out. But because San Jose State's a new team. They're on a bye. San Diego State and Hawaii are on a bye. So it's only been a couple games. I think we can just start with San Jose State because they're the easy team. Assuming I'm fairly impressed with what they've done outside of not able to punch in against Stanford, but they're the number five team of the country. Red zone issues going to happen. Do you have any issues with San Jose State now? Anything great or bad to say about them, really?
Not really. I mean, David Fields hasn't been quite as prolific as you might have expected, but you know, he's got like another 10 games or so.
Yeah, plenty of games. Plus, Sac State, he barely played in Stanford. Just a good team. So that's enough on them. We don't need to go into dwell into them. But the fun teams are Hawaii and San Diego State. How bad it? I hate San Diego State's like the worst team in the world. How bad do you think they're going to be this year?
You know what? I still hold out some faith. I had made the bold prediction that they would beat Ohio State about a week ago, and now I look really stupid.
Yeah.
but I think a lot of that is tied to the fact that Adam Moyma just hasn't been healthy. You know, they lost a lot of their star skill position players last year to the draft. and nobody's really stepped up to replace them so far.
That's what I thought, too. I also was looking to do some extra research because they gave up so many sacks and were hurried versus stupid Eastern Illinois. They did lose two starters on the line. I had 20-plus starts, but I'm not sure how bad Moyen was injured. They say it's a low ankle sprain. It's not that dreaded high one that can take 6 to 10 weeks to heal. But they had nothing. I figured Dingwall, because he got the early start last year. He played six games when Ryan Capps went down with the, I think it was a broken ankle, if I believe, or some sort of ankle injury. So he got those six games early. I think it was 7 touchdowns, 7 picks. Nothing great. But he figured, okay, he's got in a year early, half a year early. He'll be fine. But he's just awful.
Yeah, I mean, you might expect him to struggle against a team like Ohio State. I mean, but I don't know how to, you know, how to explain his performance against Eastern Illinois. He's got no touchdowns and 5 picks on the year.
Yeah, and then I'm going to rant. Stupid UTSanDiego.com is behind a paywall now.
Yeah.
However, they guarantee 10 articles to read. I click on my one article, I get shafted because I wanted to read something there to mention on the show I found earlier, but that's okay. I'm not going to talk about how bad the running game is because they won't tell me, so I'll give you my own opinion. I don't know how bad his injury is, and we don't know. They have no capable backup. They have, I don't know how good their, what junior, was it Quinn Kaler, their junior college backup transfer?
Yeah.
He did better, 200 plus yards, but they had to throw the ball. So it's like he did better, nothing too great. And now they're going to split time this week and a half, which they're very lucky to get a bye. And I don't know what's going to come of that because they're going to competition and who knows.
Well, I mean, do you think they're going to go back to Dingwall or do you think they're going to start Kaler next week?
Well, I don't know. They're playing Oregon State, who's pretty much about as awful as San Diego State right now. We'll know a bit more because Oregon State plays at Utah, which they're 2-0, beat Utah State, beat up on Weber State this past week. And they're, who knows how good they really are. They're not too bad for beating Utah State. So we'll know a bit more, but I don't know why, because they benched Dingwall on the first pass on the second possession. They might. I just don't know. But my concern, okay, the offense is that bad, but what about the defense? They brought back 7 or 8 guys, and they're just getting trounced out there.
Yeah, I don't know how to account for that either. They have a lot. They have a very talented linebacking group, especially.
Yeah, but Jake Feely, who had, I think, 100 tackles, first-team all-conference preseason, second-team last year. And they got to play that 3-3-5, which has some speed. And that's also concerning.
Was it just a situation, at least last week, facing the Buckeyes, where that 3-3-5 didn't match well against Urban Meyer's spread?
But it should have, because Rocky Long, okay, he's only played them twice. He's the only team to beat Utah when he's at New Mexico, and he held them well under their, like, 3 touchdowns under their average, which I was on the Ohio State pregame show, some radio station out there, mentioning, I get the talent discrepancy is different, but the scheme can still, should, if it caused trouble before, it might cause trouble again. It did not. They lose Braxton Miller, and their backup's pretty good, apparently, there in Ohio State, who did what he wanted against the Aztec defense, but I figured defense was pretty good last year. Rocky Long's defensive coach. I joked. You probably heard a joke. Do they want Andy Ludwig back as their offensive coordinator?
I guess it couldn't hurt at this point.
He's just – everybody hated him. Like, I remember when he was here in Utah, they were complaining. Because here's the funny thing. It'd be 3rd and 1. Let's go for, like, a double option reverse pass. Some garbage like that. So it's like – and everybody – even the year when, like – not to go back and talk too much, but in 08 when they won the Sugar Bowl, Utah, it was basically Brian Johnson, their quarterback, doing all the plays against Alabama.
Yeah.
That's pretty much what it was. So it's like, do you really, you could want him back, but I don't know. So you still think, you're still holding out hope for a bowl game.
Well, see, the one thing you can say for the Aztecs, at least for right now, is even though the team, the offense as a whole is struggling, you got to give credit to Colin Lockett. He's really tried to make the best of a bad situation. He's got 14 catches in 2 games, and that's got to count for something.
Yeah, he's doing pretty good. But as for, like, here's something really quick. I think they could beat Oregon State, maybe, because we'll get to Hawaii in a minute. They're on a bye as well. They played Oregon State reasonably well. But they got New Mexico State, so they're not going to go winless. Well, I'm pretty sure it's safe they're not going to go winless. They do play Hawaii. They do get UNLV, some pretty bad teams. But I'm trying to see 6 wins. New Mexico State, maybe New Mexico, Hawaii, and UNLV. That's maybe 4.
Yeah, I mean, they see, that's the thing. They get their 2 toughest games at home. They get Fresno State and Boise at home. It's just hard to see them really stacking up at this point, but you never know.
No, I think we're pretty safe they're not going to beat either of those teams.
Well, I'm you know, I'm still holding out faith. I don't want to dump too bad on the Aztecs.
Okay, no problem. All right, we'll get to them later. We'll see what they do next week. So Hawaii. Oh man, I don't know. Me and Chris made fun of USC because they actually hung with Hawaii. The one thing I'm kind of impressed is their defense has a pulse this year. Because last year, I remember that Nevada game, Stephon Jefferson had, what, 6 or 7 touchdowns? Like, 300 yards of ground to nothing. They're okay, but their offense, I don't know what to deal with Taylor Graham is. He's this pretty big recruit from Ohio State, comes out and does nothing, and he's like, well, let me just throw some interceptions against a bad Oregon State team, or USC defense that is pretty thin in secondary.
Yeah, and after this week, they go on the road to Nevada, and Reno is never a nice place to play, so...
No. The only hope they're getting, because they're missing Billy Ray Stutzman, wide receiver, who I think we ranked one of our top players, which could be a mistake this season, maybe, if he doesn't play. Or he's up there. But he had a concussion at one car collision, not a pileup. But he traveled last week, I don't think he traveled to their road game, but he was getting closer to play. Then they lose their running back, Jero Asafa, hasn't played at all, and their running game has been atrocious. So I'm wondering if they get those two guys back, they might actually be able to salvage part of the season and be... I don't know, maybe beat a team like UNLV or maybe Army.
UNLV is a long way away. They get Nevada and Fresno and San Jose all in a row. So it could get pretty ugly in a hurry.
Yeah, I'm assuming they'll be 0-5.
Yeah.
That's pretty safe to say. But I don't know what Norm Child's doing over there. I don't know what to deal with. Getting rid of Aaron Price beginning of the season, whatever that situation was, but... They're not as bad as I thought. So,
did they ever actually mention what the reason for that was?
No, they said it was not a resignation, and he wasn't fired, and he didn't resign. So basically, he's assuming what I can tell, administrative lead and getting paid through March for the season. Well, so that's a nice, not a bad deal if you can get it.
Well, so Norm Chow's calling his own plays.
Yeah, I think part of it is that he wants to do it all himself because that's what he. Because last year he had, Tommy Lee, who hadn't coached in years. It's like, he had like in 5 years, and he coached in Utah in the early 90s for some position and kind of Montana's going around. So they got rid of him. But Norm Child's like a hands-on guy. He wants to do it all. So I'm assuming that's why the inside word I've heard is like maybe just some differences in what they wanted to do for on offense. So I could see that because Norm Child's, that's kind of why he happened to, everybody remembers UCLA. Rick Neuheisel forced it down his throat when he's never done that ever. He's always been a passing guy, put receivers in motion, 3 or 4 wide outs type of guy. And so he got pushed out at UCLA, went to Utah. For what he did at Utah, it was amazing when they had a Division II quarterback come in and almost win the Pac-12 South, even though it would have been 7-5 or something, pretty crappy. So he knows what he's doing. I think he wants to do it his way, and that's it. And
what do you suppose the odds are he gets fired if they don't turn this around quick?
He's not going to get fired this year.
What if he goes like 1-10 or 1-11?
Wait, what did they go last year?
Went
3-9, I think.
Yeah,
4. No, they went 4-9. They did play that 13th game.
How badly would they have to regress before they start thinking about it?
He's safe this year. I think regardless, he's safe no matter what. Because he's a Hawaiian good dude. They're not going to get rid of him.
That's true.
I think he's fine this year. Next year, if it doesn't show improvement, gone. Okay, let's do this really quick because we mentioned a coaching thing. Those are teams on the bye, so good luck to them. Oh, and also really quick, Taylor Graham is still the quarterback, Norm Chow says, again. So even though Sean Schroeder played, I think, half the game last week against Oregon State, Graham's still the starter. So that's for coaches really quick. You've heard our fun fact about with Lane Kiffin, what we want to happen. Are you on board with that? Kiffin to Vegas?
You got to explain that one to me. I didn't get that one from the beginning.
Oh, we just kind of screwed around because I was joking. Because Bobby Houck's obviously on the hot seat. And you heard, I'm not sure, whatever he said last week against, who did they lose to pretty badly? Not Minnesota.
Arizona.
That's right. Yeah, Arizona, I think. He's like, the best thing that happens is that the game's over. Like, he had nothing good to say about anything or anyone. And so I'm assuming he might be gone. But we're just joking because I think it's one of our preseason shows. Like, who would we take over the UNLV program? And Chris and I kind of thought of it, and he blurted it out before I said who it was. But we just kind of think he's a Vegas guy just because look what he does. He messes around. He wants to be in the spotlight, and Vegas kind of is.
Yeah.
And plus, who's going to hire him as well as a head coach?
That is a very good question.
Because he's a big enough name, but he hasn't won anywhere.
Well, he might have to go to some place like a UTSA and do what Dennis Franchione is trying to do.
Maybe.
You know, try to. But you know, do you think that an aspiring FBS program would allow Lane Kiffin to build it from the ground up?
Does he know how to do that? Because there's always word when he was at USC with when it was Norm Chow, the OC, Steve Sarkisian, and Kiffin, whatever position coach they're at. Even when they got rid of Norm Chow and it was those two being co-coordinators, they heard it's just Sarkisian doing it all and Kiffin's kind of messing around and not participating too much and kind of lucked into that Raiders job. Well, also Al Davis was an idiot when he was alive at that point, but I know we're just kind of joking around, but we're thinking like who would really hire him because Vegas has tried the John Robinson thing before when he was a big name coach, brought him in. So I don't know. That's always kind of joking around. But do you think Bobby Houck's probably gone. But what about your guy there, Tim DeRuiter? I think he could find a head coaching job next season.
Yeah, I mean, if Fresno is successful enough, that's the one thing I worry about.
I was thinking, do you think if Kevin Sumlin goes to the NFL, do you think the A&M would want to bring him back there to be their head coach since he was their coordinator a while ago? Or no, excuse me, offensive coordinator. Wait. Yeah, never mind. Coordinator there.
Speaking yeah, I don't out. See why. I don't see why not. Oh, see, hold on. If DeRuiter leaves to go back to A&M to be their head coach, guess who has a connection to Fresno State?
Who's that?
Lane Kiffin.
What do you mean?
He's a quarterback. He's got the Fresno State connection.
He played quarterback at Fresno State.
Yes, he did.
Oh, I did not know that. That is excellent. Well, good thing to know, but I wouldn't want him at Fresno.
I do not want him at Fresno either.
Keep him away as far as you want. Oh, man. Okay. I did not know that. Okay, so if Tim Drew, but wouldn't they just move up Dave Schramm, you think, perhaps, at Fresno? We're getting way out of the head. I just want to talk to you because you Fresno specific, but I assume you're happy with Dave Schramm's performance so far last year and this year as OC. Would they just bump him up possibly?
Absolutely. I mean, Rutgers, they lost a lot of talent on defense from last year to this year. But, I mean, his offense, even though a lot of it was a lot of screen passes, a lot of quick passes, he played to the strength of the team, which is get the ball to the receivers and let them make plays. And that's exactly what they did. And they hung 52 on a very well-regarded unit. And then they followed it up by hanging another 30 on top of an FCS team in one half, which is exactly what you have to do.
So did you like that Austin Wentworth play? Is that the play ever? Best play ever?
Very much. Very much. My wife was sitting next to me on the couch. I threw my hands up, and she looked at me all funny. And
well, it's a fat guy touchdown and a trick play fat guy touchdown. Double it up on that. I was like, whoa. All right, let's get to the games. That's enough talking about getting Fresno stuff here. Okay, first game, Air Force Boise State. Friday night, ESPN. Teams get their bonus. They get their cash, their bonus for playing that game on ESPN, the $300,000. So with this game, what's your perception so far as kind of getting each team with Boise State because they played bad against a very good Washington team. Then they took their frustration out on FCS school when they beat up on – see, if we knew the school names, we'd be much better at this. UT Martin.
Tennessee Martin.
Yes. So – well, and then Air Force really quick, they got blown out by Utah State 52-20.
I mean, it might sound kind of like a cop-out, but with regards to Boise State, I think that the truth is somewhere in between the two. I don't think they're as bad as they looked during the game against Washington, but they may not be as dynamic as they looked last week against an FCS team.
You know, that's not a cop-out. That's perfectly fine. They made a ton of adjustments. I didn't watch the game. It was on ESPN3, but Chris was saying, because after the first game, there was no movement. Like they're known for putting guys in motion, exposing the defense or making the defense show them what they're going to present toward their offense when they put just slide guys around, move the tight end, move the running back out wide. Chris said that was like a staple, like every other play was doing that, and that's what they've missing. And he said they did do a lot of pistol, which kind of surprised me in the opening game a little bit, but they actually moved the guys around, got players open, and it's still like, right, it's still hard to tell how good they are. They're not going to beat team 60-10 or whatever it was against UT Martin, but I don't think they're going to get crushed by a Washington team or a team comparable to what they did against Washington. I think they'll win big against Air Force because look what Utah State did against Air Force. They just, Chucky Keaton went off on them, threw for, I think, what, 300 yards or so and had his way. And I don't think Joe Southwick's accurate as Keaton, but he's a well above average quarterback.
Yeah, I was hoping to go back and utilize a box score from last year, but apparently Air Force did not play Boise State last year. But I mean, I was referencing it. I was referencing Air Force's game in regards to San Diego State last year, and the Falcons were a lot closer to the Aztecs than the box score might indicate. They outgained the Aztecs, and you know, I think, you know, the defensive line is going to have to win the battle up front against Air Force's offensive line, and I think that they have the horses to do that. You know, DeMarcus Lawrence, I only saw a little bit of the game against Tennessee Martin, but he looked really good.
Well, you should have given that competition. You shouldn't have any issues. But so I get your point. The Air Force guys are, what, 275 max?
Yeah, something like that.
And it's because, just because there's a height weight restriction of what you can do for the academy there. But I'm hoping the defense, because they lost all the guys, hopefully they – it's going to be an in-between game. Not still your thing, but Washington ran super fast-paced. Tennessee Martin, I don't think – wasn't going to be able to do that against Boise. So they're going to see a team that's going to want to move the ball quickly – but not throw. So all they got to do, I think, is just be disciplined. But the only concern I could have is the Air Force keeping it close is that Boise has a lot of new defensive linemen on the front. Front seven's fairly new. And everybody knows how Air Force run option goes, is you got to play your position no matter what. If you're the nose tackle, you got to take that stupid fullback into the head every time. If you're playing the defensive end, you got to stay with the pitch guy or stay with the quarterback. The one time, I say it every week, it's probably boring, but the one time you don't make the move where you fall for something or you go for the ball fake and you're not staying at the quarterback and you dive, they'll beat you for 50 yards on the field.
Yeah, and especially, you know, since Air Force, they're starting a new quarterback this week, right?
He played last week. He's the starter the rest of the way because I believe Kel Pearson, they haven't said it, but I'm pretty sure it's ACL tear, but Awili, he's going to be starting again.
Yeah. So, do you think Boise State has had enough time to prepare for this?
I don't know, because like I said, they didn't play them last year. They played them the year before. They're not like a team, say, Wyoming or Colorado State faces this every year. And so I think they probably got an early start because I'm pretty sure they overlooked UT Martin a little bit. I think they'll be okay. I think because Air Force isn't as good as they have been. And because they're running a situation, they don't have Cody Getz. They don't have guys like they had in the past they're all names run together. But they do have John Lee, they do have. I like Ty McArthur a lot, the wide receiver, but he's not. I don't know why they're not using him as much, because he's kind of like a go to guy to kind of. If everybody remembers what Chad Hall did about 5 or 6 years ago, wide receiver / tight end / running back kind of did what he wanted. So they have. I think that's what Ty McArthur is, returns punts as well. I don't know if he will. They used him a bit more last week, but they do have a guy trying to. Brome, I believe. Yeah, Brome Hart had a pretty. Hit a good first game, but the thing that's weird. I think, well, I'm not worried, but Utah State's defense was so good. I was shocked they held them to basically nothing in rushing yards last week. Cause they have everybody knows their great defense. Their linebackers and everything were very, very good, which are probably best in the league by far. I just think Air Force will be able to get back in track and get some yards just because the youth of the Boise defense. But I still think Boise's offense is going to kind of step it up again, and they'll bring out the passing game with Joe Southwick throwing to Geraldo Baldwin, Kirby Moore, Matt Miller, all those guys. I think they'll be able to get some points. And I think it'll be close early on, and Air Force will probably score some points moving the ball, but I still think they can win by about 15 to 20 points.
All right, so Air Force is averaging 285 yards a game so far between their first game against Colgate and last week.
Yeah, but they got like under 200 against Utah State, right? Something like that.
But if over or under on 285 yards against Boise State?
Rushing or total?
Rushing.
I don't know. They got 409 versus Colgate and 162 versus Utah State. Is it 285? That's their average about?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, 570. Just rushing 285. I say they get – no, I say they under. I'll go about – they'll get about 250.
I think they'll go slightly over, but they'll probably still lose by about 2 touchdowns.
I still do that. Okay. I think they'll get a lot just because of youth, but they're not – I'm trying to pull up the cover on this game too. The spread isn't it? Probably 2 touchdowns, I bet, just so we're not just speaking whatever. It'd be helpful to get that page open here. All right, let's see here what we got here. Boise, it's Friday night, so it's early game, which is also, yeah, it's on, what do we say, 8 Eastern on ESPN, so you can watch that. It's 23.5 points. I think it'll be about almost that, about 20 points or so, 15 to 20.
Well, if it's 23 points, I think Air Force should probably cover.
Yeah, it'll be close.
Yeah.
And it's at home for Boise, so I think they'll be pumped, ready to go. And I think if me, well, I don't think Joe Tessitore is doing the game, so I think they're okay for avoiding any randomness or upset alert happening. So nobody wants to see that again. Well, I guess Boise fans don't. Whatever. If they do, great. Fine. We'll see. All right, next game, New Mexico and Pitt. I like New Mexico in this game a little bit, but losing to UTSA kind of just threw me off for that in week one.
Yeah, I really don't know what to make of New Mexico. You guys seem fairly convinced they were going to improve a lot this year. I'm still not really sure.
Hey, that makes sense. Chris is leaning more, well, not anymore, but he is pretty sure a bowl game. I was like, I was kind of thinking it could happen. I think in 5 wins they'd get, but it'd be pretty close. But the first game, UTSA put a pretty good beat down and stopped Casey Carrier to hardly any yards. And that was a concern. They put a great game plan against to stop the offense.
Yeah. But then, I mean, last week that offense was working wonders against UTEP, and Casey Carrier was a man.
Yeah, he had, 41 for 290? I think what it was, because I was reading up, because the guys from over at Cardiac Hill did a little answer and question stuff about the Pitt game. They're asking, what did UTSA did? Apparently, when I was reading up on it, UTSA has a pair of 300-pound defensive tackles. And so up to middle, not an option. And then they just were able to, I guess they had some speed and were able to make Cole Gauchy, before he got hurt, to just hold on to the ball. They couldn't get to the pitch to carry to get wide. And he's a 5'8", under 200-pound guy. So up to middle, he's not going to do good anyways for the most part, unless he can sneak by. But they couldn't get the pitch outside, so they clogged the middle with the two giants and then had speed on the outside to just make Gauchy hold the ball. And so that's kind of what they did. And with Gauchy out, that's the thing, too, we don't know what to make of, because Gauchy's an awful passer. He's just terrible. Can't throw the ball. Can't do anything. Pass the ball. So it's when it's 3rd and 8, everybody knows what's coming.
Mm-hmm.
But now when they have their backup in the game here, what's his name? Mitchum, yes. Clayton Mitchum, yes. I think for a minute. I was thinking somebody else. He throws a little bit better, but in the first half, he only threw one time. But he did end up for over 100 yards. So it's like, me and Christopher, I think our opinion was, if they could pretend to throw or kind of have a threat, that will open up everything. And I don't know if they have that yet.
Well, and the other thing, too, is you got Mitchum's going to be making his first road start across the country. So, it's going to be a hostile environment. And, Pittsburgh is going to know exactly what New Mexico wants to do.
Pretty much. It's also that early. They've been adjusting for practice because it's a 12:30 Eastern kick, but it's 10:30 Albuquerque Mountain Time out in New Mexico. So they've been practicing early in the morning. But the thing is, we don't know much about Pittsburgh. They got their butt kicked by Florida State by 40-something points, I think. It was, 41-10?
41-13.
Yeah, 41-13. They couldn't run the ball, couldn't pass the ball. Thing is, though, New Mexico's defense is not all that good.
What you got to keep in mind, though, is even though Pitt ultimately got blown out, what they did against the very first drive against Florida State, they went down, took 4 minutes off the clock, 9 plays, 80 yards for a touchdown. So, New Mexico's defense isn't nearly as stout as that of the Seminoles.
No,
so
not even close, no. But then you look at what Florida State, they wanted to go with Jameis Winston, let him throw the ball, and we'll talk about him and stuff in Nevada later. But Florida State, I figured they'd have more rushing yards because they're winning so big, but they couldn't run all the well versus Pittsburgh. So I'm wondering if that's going to be an issue versus New Mexico. Even New Mexico runs 60 times and throws 8, they're going to get yards, but they got to get a decent yard per play average. They can't just go 60 carries, average 3 yards a carry, and get 240 or whatever that would, under 200 yards. They need carry to get big plays. I think he will, because I don't think Pittsburgh will be able to. I don't know. I can't say that because UTSA shut him down. So it's hard to tell what Pittsburgh brings after one game. I just think they're going to do what they do, get some yards. And if Mitchum can throw the ball reasonably well, then I think they can hang around. I just think it's, 24 points, if I'm correct on there. I think that's way too much because Pittsburgh struggled. They either struggled or they lose to an FCS school last year. I think Youngstown State.
Yeah, I mean, Mitchum, yeah. But, they went to a bowl game after losing that game. They're a perfectly mediocre team. And if you look at their record from the past couple of years, they've gone to, I believe it was the Compass Bowl, 3 straight years.
Nice.
Under 3 straight coaches.
Yeah.
Three different coaches.
Yes, it's I don't know what, because I don't know much. I was reading up on Pittsburgh a little bit. They do have a quarterback's not too bad. They moved the ball a little bit on the ground, if I recall, versus Florida State. They did some, like I said, they did some good things fine, but they couldn't, like, third down, they only had 2 for 8. They only ran for 94 yards, and I guess they had to throw when they're up, but they couldn't even throw the ball very well, and they have to, so I think New Mexico has to kind of get some sort of pressure. Yeah, but because their defensive line has some pretty big guys, so they can, that's what kind of Chris harped about in our preseason, they'll get their hands up, they're all above like 6'2", I think, they're all pretty good big guys with height-wise. I don't know enough about Pitt to make any informed decision. I just think they're thinking New Mexico is just this awful team, and that's the way it's going to be because they've always been awful.
I think for Pitt, it's going to be a lot more of the same. They might be a middle-of-the-pack ACC team. It's just my opinion that I think a middle-of-the-pack ACC team is going to be good enough to beat New Mexico. I mean, the Lobos, the one chance that they have is, like you said, Mitchum is going to have to establish that he can throw the ball early, because if he don't, they're going to pin their ears back and they're going to focus on Carrier, and it's going to get ugly in a hurry if that happens.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, a very good chance. And I forgot I had this up here. We did a little Q&A with the guys, and they're talking about Paul Christer, the head coach, has emphasized his press conference, tackle, 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 because they had the issue against Florida State tackling, and they could possibly have the same issue in the running attack that New Mexico is going to bring. And so they harped on tackling. Their defense has always been pretty good in the past couple of years. He thinks this year they'll be about what they've had the past couple of years. So he thinks their rush defense will be all right. But the one thing he mentioned specifically is Tyler Boyd, their wide receiver, who's freshman, 4-star, all blah, 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 good recruit and stuff. He's like explosive, fast running back. So New Mexico needs to kind of key in on him. And then they also have Devin Shreed as well. So they have a pair of wide receivers that could be a potential NFL draft picks down the road. And if you got that good talent, I don't think New Mexico could stop them. I don't know. Do you think they can get within 3 touchdowns of Pitt? Because Pitt just screams to me, they're just meh. They're just whatever. But everybody knows Mexico's been just awful forever.
You know what? Gun to my head, I would say yes. But I would not feel confident about it.
I think I'm the same boat as you. I think they can do it, but they need to. If they're going to do it, it's probably going to be, well, it's kind of weird to say you're a 24-point underdog, but it's going to be a high-scoring game, because that's kind of hard to do.
Yeah, I mean,
60-30 or something.
I mean, one game against Florida State's not going to tell us a lot about their run defense, but Pittsburgh was in the top, just outside of the top 30 in run defense last year.
Yeah, they're right at 32 and top, actually looks like they put here top 21 the past 3 years. So they know what they're doing. Even with the new head coaches, they'll be fine. I think that here's what I think will happen. Mexico will keep it close for about a half or so, and then they may just kind of wear down and lose by about 17 down the stretch because they don't have enough depth to go up against Pittsburgh. So
yeah, that sounds about right.
We'll go with that. That's our prediction there. We'll keep it close, and good luck with that. So let's go to your game, Fresno State versus Colorado. I remember last year.
2-0 Colorado.
Yeah, sure. We'll go with that.
Colorado.
Sure, yeah. Mike McIntyre, 2-0, even though they snuck by Central Arkansas by about, 15 points or something like that, 14 points. So is this game on TV anywhere? Because it's showing here and no TV. Is it even on the Pac-12, I thought?
I believe it was. When I researched it a few weeks ago, I believe it is on the Pac-12 network.
Actually, I have my handy press release here from the league. Let's see here. Colorado, yeah, Pac-12 Network, 2 Eastern. So if you get Pac-12 Network, if you're a UVerse person, you get it now, so good for you. Do you get the Pac-12 Network in your home?
No, I do not have cable in my home.
Ah, that makes it very difficult.
I have an antenna and I have a tablet.
Okay, just curious to ask. I have DirecTV, I don't have it either, so I'm like, kind of sucks for some games, but okay, just making sure because I want to know who has it, who can see it, and stuff like that. So this game, remember last year's debacle? What was it? I think I should pull it up. What was it, 30-something to nothing at the first quarter, 35-zip?
It was like 69-14. That's what I remember.
I remember it was an awful game, and I remember Robbie Rouse had like multiple yard runs over like 50 yards, I think.
Yeah.
So with this game, I'm slightly concerned for Colorado or for Fresno State because Paul Richardson is a very good wide receiver. If you saw what he did for CSU, he had an 82-yard reception. I think another very long catch. And we saw versus Fresno State and Rutgers, they're able to move the ball. Is that your biggest concern, since you know this team the best, about defending Paul Richardson?
Yeah, I mean, it seems pretty silly to say now, but, you know, it seems like they missed him last year because he was injured.
A little bit, yes.
They might have done a little better and might have saved Embry his job. But anyway, yeah, I mean, because they let Brandon Coleman and they let the other guy, Leandre Carew, they let both of them get behind the secondary a couple of times. They haven't been quite the ball hawks that they were last year, which of course is kind of it's expected because, you know, regression to the mean and everything like that. Nobody's gonna.
What about Darren Smith, man? Preseason Player of the Year. What's going on?
You know what? I don't know. I haven't really paid a lot of attention to him. But, you know, if Richardson is going to be able to get behind this defense, that's going to cause a lot of problems.
Yeah, because I kind of thought their strength would be the secondary. And if that's going to be an issue, it's going to be Richardson. And I don't see I don't think this game will be close. I think Colorado will be able to put up some points because Fresno's defense is suspect so far early in the year. I don't think Colorado can win this game because, dude, your offense. Whoever they'll throw it to, Devontae Adams, you got Isaiah Bruce, you got, who's the other guys? Josh Harper out there. And how comfortable are you with the running back situation when Josh Quezada back there and who's the other guy, Walter or something?
Marquise Waller. And also and Malik Meisenheimer. They've all been splitting time. It hasn't been great, but I don't want to fault them too much because, you know, they've missed some of their opportunities. There was an article in the Fresno Bee a few days ago talking about how the team has struggled in short yardage situations. But I think that'll kind of work itself out with time. I think as they get more opportunities, they'll be able to convert more opportunities. And, you know, against Rutgers, they were able to break a couple of long runs, even if the overall totals didn't look all that great. And then against Cal Poly, once they were up, you know, the starting running backs didn't really need to run off a lot of clock because they brought in all the backups. Yeah. So I still don't have a clear picture of what the running game is going to look like as the year goes on. I think it'll be better than it has been, though.
Okay, I got enough guys. I remember watching Josh Quezada BYU. He did all right, reasonable for what they asked him to do. Do you think right now, do you know what this line on this game is? Have you looked at the paper?
Off the top of my head, I do not know.
Okay, what do you think it is?
If I had to guess, it's got to be at least 2 or 3 scores.
If you go by field goals, you'd be correct. 9.5.
Oh, that's it?
That is it. They've been over under 67. Colorado, they don't have a great home field advantage. They kind of do their own Folsom field, but they are 2-0, but they haven't really impressed all that much. CSU is whatever, and Central Arkansas is the FCS school. And I kind of thought 17 points, hands down. Basically, look at last year. Come on, take that into consideration. I think Fresno is going to get this going away, and I think they can really do that, especially if they get to Connor Wood, the quarterback there, because they have no depth behind that quarterback. Everybody transferred, and one dude transferred to play basketball somewhere.
Yeah, and I mean, the one thing that the Bulldogs defense has done outside of the third quarter against Rutgers is they've been able to stop the run. And Colorado so far has not put up really impressive running numbers. You know, Tony Jones has 85 yards total on 25 carries. That's 3.4 yards carry. That's not going to get it done.
No.
You know, you can only take your shots deep if you're able to present the threat of a running game. So if they can't do that, then the D-line is going to be able to tee off.
Yeah, because Rutgers they did pretty good. They averaged 6 yards a carry, kind of tightened it up versus Cal Poly. They ran a lot more, so the yardage was about the same, but they held them pretty good. Because overall, it's about average, but I think if they can make the plays they need to and slow him down, I think they make it sure to stop Richardson and get to the quarterback, and they'll be fine. Even if they don't, it might be 40 to 28 instead of a blowout if Richardson gets a couple scores.
Oh, it's going to be worse than that.
You think it is? It can't be worse than last year.
I don't think they're going to hang 69 on him again, but I wouldn't be surprised if they drop another 50.
Interesting. Okay. I think CU is a little bit better, but I still think – I wouldn't be confident saying they'll get over 50 points. I think they'll be something like 40 to 20 or 40 to 17, something around there. They'll win by about almost 3 touchdowns.
Mm, I think I have a lot of confidence in my team.
As you should,
I mean, Colorado's beaten a very underwhelming Colorado State, and they've beaten an FCS team, and I don't see how that leads to a 9-point spread.
Yeah, I don't get that either. Was it Rutgers? Well, we don't know much about Rutgers because they played Norfolk State and won pretty easily. And then they played Fresno a tight, late overtime game. So it's kind of comparing them. It's hard to do because they've only played Fresno. We saw what that movement, what all that was, points scoring on the next week game. FCS school, so it's hard to tell. I figure 2 touchdowns minimum, but whatever. We don't do that. And maybe I'll make a 90-minute drive and make some money. I don't know. We'll see if I do that.
Well, see, another thing to keep in mind, too, is Colorado's got a very good punter. So their special teams might match up very well with Fresno State's special teams. If it plays out like last week and Burse can turn the tide very early on, that could change the whole dynamic of the game.
But that gives Fresno Derek Carr more yards to gain, right? If he gets pinned back to the 5 or 10 yard line.
That's also true. Yes. Yeah.
Just patting stats for whatever. So that, who knows, special teams, can't just rule it out. That'll, because I think, doesn't Richardson return punts for them as well?
Yeah, apparently he has 417 all-purpose yards so far. Not so bad. About a little over 200 a game.
So yeah, that could have played an issue with him in the punting game. So that's something to keep an eye on, but still, I think 3 touchdowns about where I'd put him at. All right, next game, we're not going to do too much. Cal Poly, CSU. The only big news is that Donnell Alexander is expected to be back. He broke his hand in that CU game. They're still going to split time with Chris Nwoke and Capri Bibbs. And I guess McElwain said whoever has a hot hand will play more. So that's all the news there. Anything Cal Poly could do? You kind of saw them last week against Fresno.
I watched the entire game, and they did most of their damage against Fresno State's second team defense, which is another story.
Yeah,
but I think what they were able to do, because Fresno State was able to knock out Cal Poly's starting quarterback, Vince Moraga, and they brought in their second-string quarterback, Chris Brown, and he was able to make some things happen. So if Brown is the starter for this week, I was looking up Cal Poly news, and they don't have any updates on Moraga. But if Brown is able to start, you know, this is a Cal Poly team that's still among the very best in the FCS ranks. Mm-hmm. So Colorado State can't take them lightly.
Definitely. And plus, CSU is still working on the quarterback situation. I guess they're still going to go with Garrett Grayson, but there's still pressure for Nick Stevens or then also Connor Smith to get some action. This could be a game to – I don't know if they want to hold on to Smith – or not Smith, but Nick Stevens, because he's still a true freshman, to burn the red shirt pretty iffy. I think they need to at least – they need to try to get out to a lead, or if Grayson plays terrible, they need to stick in Connor Smith to see what he can do, and wait. I think they should still wait on Nick Stevens, because you don't want to burn a guy's retro. Just, you know what I mean, for once, see like 3 games in the season, you want to save that if possible.
Well, don't forget too that Colorado State lost to North Dakota State last year.
Correct.
So losing to an FCS team wouldn't exactly be unprecedented.
No. And then also some quick CSU news, because other injury stuff, Charles Lovett and Joe Hansley, which is still big losses because they're their best wide receivers, and that's part of the reason they lost to CU. They didn't have Charles Lovett, who's probably can match Paul Richardson or pretty close to it. With those two guys possibly out, they may have to burn a pair of redshirt receivers to get action, have enough wide receivers. So that's something else that would suck if they had to do it this early in the season. Maybe they can just stick Donnell Alexander wide receiver or something, or multiple running backs or something to not do that. But that's the news we got. Do you think CSU is going to get their first win?
You know what? Yeah, I think I just do.
I'm going to say yes. Yeah. All right.
Yes.
All right. So that game, I don't think it's on TV anywhere. It is online, so you can watch online. There you go. I guess it's Campus Insiders. I don't know. Check CSURams.com. There, that's all it. Just find it that way. Google it. There we go. Next game, let's do Northern Colorado, Wyoming. Even though we have a bigger game, we'll get to in a minute. Wyoming should win easily. Northern Colorado is one of the worst FCS schools. What do you think about Wyoming, really quick, just to get your thoughts about how good they possibly could be?
I did not see their first game against Nebraska.
We missed it.
But obviously they played very well. I did get a little bit of their game last week against Idaho. And what stuck out to me was their very first offensive play. Brett Smith goes back to pass. You know, Idaho puts some pressure on him. He escapes. And he looks totally reckless. He runs for about 15 yards, dives head first, and gets the first down. And then I heard you guys mention in your recap show last week that he started 1 for 10 against Idaho. So the thought that I had, and I said so on Twitter, was that I think Wyoming is going to be a very classic Jekyll and Hyde team where you may not know who's going to show up, you know, or which team is going to show up. You know, I think they'll take care of Northern Colorado handily, but I wouldn't be shocked if it took them a while to do so.
Possibly, yeah. It could be playing the competition a little bit, then they finally turn it around after that first quarter. Because Nebraska, they are with them outside of a small stretch of about 8 or 10 minutes where Nebraska almost pulled away, getting up by about 16. They were right from the get-go hanging out with them. So it's possible. I could see that being a chance where it could just kind of be an issue a little bit. All right, then Weber State, Utah State, same thing. Utah State's going to smoke them. This game's at ESPN3, so if you have that, you can pick up that game that way. Weber State lost last week to Utah 70-7, and then we all know Utah State lost to Utah week before. Same thing, because Utah State is going to win. What do you think about Utah State, just so people can know what you feel about Chucky for Heisman? Is that your thing, or do you still want Derek Carr for Heisman, I'm assuming?
Well, you know what? To be honest, like Chucky Keaton's probably got the highlight reel that Derek Carr does not, and I think that will bode well for the people who watch, you know, SportsCenter or something.
Carr
like
just throws back for 400 yards. He doesn't run or die for plays. He's not excited enough.
But you know, obviously, Chucky Keaton has acquitted himself very well early on, and if he can, you know, pile up some big numbers in Weber State. You know, he won't hurt himself as far as his campaign is concerned.
Do you think he has a chance? Because we kind of broke it down a while last week. I kind of give the edge to Chucky just because of who he plays. A lot of people saw him versus Utah, partly because that was the first game on Fox Sports 1, first weekend of football. He goes to USC, so people will be watching that game in a couple weeks where they might be favored. I would hope so, but probably not. They get USC, they play, and then the other big teams, Boise State. And then they also play BYU, which will be a high-profile game, I guess. But, now, you know what I mean? Just it's a good, decent people know about the opponent, but not necessarily they're the best team around. And then Fresno, and they miss Fresno, but Fresno doesn't get anybody like that in non-conference or in-league besides Boise State. You know what I mean? They're nothing where a huge non-conference game or big name, I guess. So that's where I'd see, but I don't think either will get invited. It'll take a huge miracle almost to even get invitation because we all know what happened to David Carr. Put up 1 million yards and nothing.
Yeah, I mean, I had Keaton when we did our top 50 countdown before the season. I had Keaton at number 7, and I think that may have been underrating him based on what he's done so far.
Yeah, I think I had him maybe 10 or something. I think I had him behind Cody Fajardo, which now seems kind of silly a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, he was 9th overall in the aggregate, and you know, now I understand why the Aggie fans were complaining about that.
Sure. Okay. Yeah, that's we'll see. We may do a re-ranking end of the season. It took a while to put together, but we'll see. Next game, Nevada, Florida State. So speaking of Cody Fajardo, he might not play.
That's gonna be a problem.
Yeah, knee injury. He's day to day. It's only Wednesday right now, Thursday, and everybody will know more tomorrow and Friday. Without him, there's no chance. Zero chance.
Yeah, I mean, I think...
Do you give him a chance if Fajardo plays and he seems to be fine, do you even give him a chance to score 3 touchdowns?
Yes, I do. But I think they're going to have to try and jump on them early, kind of like Pitt did. They're going to have to go down the field on their first drive and put up 7. I don't think they can settle for 3.
All right. It makes sense as well. Because, plus, here's the thing. They're not going to be afraid of anything. They went to Oregon last year. They played UCLA this year. They played UCLA. And I think Florida State's better than UCLA, I think. So it could be difficult. Plus, it's a cross-country game. Luckily, it's not that 12:30 kick. It's a 3:30. So it's pretty much no issue with the time change with them, the 3-hour difference. I just think they need to try to mix it around like Brendan Wimberly, get everybody involved on that first drive. Like you said, if they can score a touchdown first, then they may have some fun in this game and hang around for a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing that Nevada's going to have to watch out for is the one thing that Florida State does have is a terrifying defensive line.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, with that pistol offense, the game is going to be won or lost pretty quickly, I think, along the lines.
Yeah, with the pistol, if they can work in the correct option, they could take advantage of that, because if they're either a fast or huge offensive line, you want to mix in my opinion, some move the pocket a little bit, which they do. It's what they normally do anyways. Move the pocket, do some counter plays, do multiple options. Like the one cool option, I don't think they do it, but I see a lot of some schools do it. They either do the option or the shovel pass. So they'll take, I think they've done it a little bit, where they'll kind of go to the, like, just looks like a normal option, but you have a running back trailing the QB where you can either do a normal option, say, to your left hand, or do a shovel to the guy up the middle. I think that, if they can put that in the playbook, which I haven't seen enough Nevada to know if they've done that, how often or how well they do it, or if they do it. Maybe I'm just making a place for them right now. Coach, you listening? Put this play in there, maybe?
Yeah.
But that's a cool play. I've seen it Utah. I've seen it a few other places where, you know what I'm talking about, right? Where it's either option or shovel pass up the middle.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that.
That one's making sure everybody understands what we're talking about. So either shovel pass up the middle or do the option to the guy. That play can... That's better than going wide and deciding between running or giving the toss. If they can mix in those type of plays, just misdirection to keep the – just so the defensive line can't overpower you by – we know you're running right every time, or we know you're going to be doing a quick option every time. So they can time. You got to mix up the snap count, mix up your play calling on the running type of plays because they'll run a lot. And then just make them stay honest and not be able to just overpower you or just know what's coming. If they can do that – they might be able to hang on a little bit, at least make it interesting for a while.
Well, the thing is that their game against UCLA really kind of turned on a couple of really bad breaks. You know, without those bad breaks, you're not looking at a 4-touchdown difference. So, you know, if they have a little more good luck this time and they can keep Fajardo upright if he plays, I think they can hang with the Seminoles.
Do you think every year they're overrated, Florida State? Like, this is another one of those years, they're always overrated?
You know what? I did not see Winston in his first game, but...
Tore it up.
They're without a doubt the best team in the ACC. You know, they're probably a top 10 team, so, you know, I don't think that they're a true national title contender, but I don't think that they're overrated.
Okay, I see what you mean. Yeah, that makes sense. They're probably... ACC champions, at least a front runner there. Well, Clemson's pretty good, so we'll see how that goes. I think with this particular way they're set up, the secondary is an issue. As we know, last year, South Florida, the Arizona game more specifically, has got beat on the secondary. Deep pass every time. And Jameis Winston, this could be one of those games because he's kind of a dark horse Heisman. He could really put up some Heisman stats against his secondary. And that, I think that's where Florida State will pull away. They'll just find that weak spot and just attack the secondary and throw, and then just crush them, I think, eventually.
Yeah, Nevada's going to need to find an answer if they're able to pick them apart. They'll need to answer quick.
And so really quick, if they're going to bring in a backup, it's going to be a Devin Combs. He played a little bit last year and a little bit this last week, it looks like. But if they don't have Fajardo, it's going to get ugly early. All right, so actually, really quick, let's. Who do you? I assume you're still picking Florida State to win. If we go by, it's 34 points. That seems quite a bit.
If it's 34 points, I got to take Nevada. Yeah. But straight up, I think Florida's probably going to take. Florida State's probably going to take care of business.
Yeah, I definitely. Yeah, I right there with you. I think they hang around for maybe just a quarter, not all that long. But I think they're not going to get beat. Like, it's because it's only a 65-point over under. So what does that make it? 45-10. 55 to 10.
Yeah, it's not going to be 50, that 50, bad.
No. I think it'll be 40 to 20 maybe, somewhere about 3 touchdowns. All right, final game. So that is, UNLV. They're just awful. I don't know what to tell you. Their coach gave up last week. I seriously think, we don't need to talk about the game. I think they might have a fighting chance against Central Michigan, may win. But I don't want to talk about the game. I want to talk about, are you assuming, is Bobby Houck staying or going?
You know what? That was another one of my bold predictions. I thought Bobby Houck would do just enough to save his job, and now I'm looking like an idiot. So.
Well, no, I'm looking like a bigger idiot, me and Chris, because last year we saw, here's also the thing, UNLV saved by a touchdown. However, it opened up at 12, so people aren't too confident in UNLV.
Yeah.
But last year, me and Chris were like, oh, they're hanging close. They were playing teams where they weren't getting blown out 50-10 like they did forever. And we saw them last year, played Washington State pretty good, Minnesota. They played pretty good. They weren't getting crushed except for one or two games. But then this year, it's been all crap, like special teams. Like in that Minnesota game, 4 plays equal 28 touchdowns. That blocked field goal that got kicked down the field, pick six, punt return, and the 150-yard run. But the thing that we were like, oh, well, they moved the ball pretty well when they had a chance versus Minnesota. But then Arizona came to town, and we all saw how that happened. A mess.
Yeah, I mean, it all starts with the quarterback. Nick Sherry is taking a huge step backwards in the first two games. You know, I thought he would be a guy. He was a guy I considered putting on my top 50 players. I couldn't justify having that many quarterbacks on the list. Mm-hmm. I mean, he hasn't gotten the job done so far.
And I guess Bobby Houck said he's going to stick with him this week. They do have who did they put at wide receiver last year? Caleb Herring. He played wide receiver last year. Now I guess he's back at backup quarterback. They say they're still going to stick with Sherry, but if stuff goes south after that first quarter, he's got to be like on a short, like a hook, man. If he does something like similar to Adam Dingwall after that first possession, through that pick interception. That makes sense, a pick interception. What am I talking about? Basically, he threw the interception on his fifth pass, and he is done. He has to be something like that where he's going to give him the confidence to start, let him play okay, but if he messes up, he's out there in a hurry.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
And they're I'm pulling up right now just to make sure I'm reading everything correctly. Yeah, it is Caleb Herring, which I knew that, but it's still going to be Nick Sherry starting. So the big question is, are they going to win?
You know what? I'm looking at what Central Michigan's done so far this year. They got blown out by Michigan, which you might expect, but they rebounded and they put together a pretty good effort against New Hampshire, I believe.
Come on, New Hampshire. They snuck a win against New Hampshire.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
They had to come from behind to beat New Hampshire. I'm looking right here. They had to score 17 points in the fourth quarter to win by a field goal.
But I mean, it's a team that's had a history of success. Was it Central Michigan who beat Iowa last year on the road?
I don't know, but they had Daniel Flora, who's pretty good. They've had success recently. They've been pretty good for a while, and they did put up 300 plus yards in the passing game, which is a new quarterback this year. They have is Cooper Rush, not a bad name.
Yeah, I just looked it up. They did beat Iowa on the road last year.
Is Iowa all impressive to beat Iowa?
Well, if they could beat Iowa on the road, they can certainly beat UNLV.
Oh, it was a road game as well? Okay. Okay, yes. That makes sense. I see you. I want to say yes, but I'm not confident saying. I'm going to say yes, but I'm not nowhere near confident by any means.
You know what? I guess I'm a little more confident than you did. I think Central Michigan's probably going to come in. They're going to roll the Rebels.
They're just going to crush them, you think?
Yeah. I mean, because I really do think it's probably if they get down by two scores early, how are they going to be able to keep Nick Sherry in the game?
True, and they can't use Tim Cornette when you're down by 40 points or even whatever, not even 40, like you said, two or three touchdowns. You can't really use him. They do have Devontae Davis, but they're missing Marcus Sullivan, who's still out for personal reasons. And if they had him in the lineup, that would help Sherry a lot. But they got to protect him, get Cornette the ball early. Like Minnesota, they passed first and gave the Cornette. If they can replicate, not necessarily do that, but kind of move the ball like they did against Minnesota early on, where they did have some success, then I think they'll be okay. I'm still going to take them to win, but here's the thing. Do you think there's any chance Houck would just quit or resign if they lose to Central Michigan? They start 0-3.
No. If I'm not going to be that bold.
Not that bold?
I would probably take at least a 4 or 5 game losing streak before.
What about Western Illinois the week after?
If he loses to Western Illinois, they may not give him a choice.
It's like, you're out of here.
Yeah, because, I mean, that's a 3-game homestand. If you're going to lose 3 home games in a row, I can understand maybe getting blown out by Arizona. But if you're gonna lose to a team like Central Michigan, which at best is a middle-of-the-road MAC team, and an FCS team three weeks in a row, you really don't deserve to keep your job.
Not. Green's won 2 wins, but 2 games the past couple of years. Because we were thinking, like, oh, maybe they'll go 3-1 on the best scenario because they played Minnesota close. Central Michigan's middle-level pack, they should, and I emphasize should, beat Western Illinois. But now, man, if they're as bad as I think they are, I think the only win on the schedule is when they host Hawaii.
Yeah, I mean, Central Michigan is not a great team, but they did win 3 out of 5 road games they played last year.
And they've actually had a success of winning, and while UNLV has not done anything since, I think, 2001 when they went to the Las Vegas Bowl.
Yeah, so they may not be great, but they are competent on the road, and I think
that's huge. I don't think UNLV is competent at home. Jeez.
Yeah, exactly.
They're not good. So I say UNLV wins. You say they're going to get crushed. Is that correct?
I really don't see it happening. I think the wheels are going to come off pretty early.
Okay, that'll make some interesting stuff that happens. All right, so that's what we got for tonight. Hope it worked well enough. You did a good. I'll just say this. I'm not going to question, like, oh, I hope we did well enough. No, we did a good job. We talked about games. You have stats, because as you can tell, I sometimes, I forget this guy's name. I put out the wrong team. Just whatever reason that happens. I can say it happens. You helped out very well to keep us on track. And let's see what the time on here. Hey, we're under an hour if we hurry up within a minute, and I think people would enjoy that. How did we go an hour if there's 3 teams on a bye? How does that work?
We talked a lot about Hawaii.
Oh, jeez. And San Diego State. And now UNLV. And now this. No, that's fine. So is there any other thing you want to toss out about this week's game? Anything particular you want to let anybody know, or any thoughts I didn't cover that you want to talk about?
You know what? I can't really think of anything. No, so we'll go ahead and wrap it up.
Okay, wait. Were you at the Fresno Rutgers game?
I was not. I was at my neighborhood establishment.
Okay. That was a late game, man. Okay. Even out West Coast. I fell asleep at 12:45 a.m. Mountain Time. I'm like, I'm just going to bed. I'll record it and watch it in the morning and see what happens in overtime.
I did stay up and watch the entire game at my neighborhood establishment, though.
Well, hey, but you got an hour on me. Come on.
Oh, yeah. That's
it was
true.
Almost 1 a.m. And I'm like, with these teams scoring points, it could go 6 overtimes. So that's just curious. Have you gone to a game recently, or are you planning on going to any this year at Fresno?
I'm keeping my fingers crossed that I'll be able to scrape together enough money to go see Boise in a couple weeks.
Nice. I'm attempting to go to Boise State at Utah State. I'm trying to figure something out with that.
Nice.
But it's just a 2.5-hour drive. But okay, that's enough talking about our travel plans. That would be a game I'd love to go see. So again, this was our I didn't mention website at all. That was pretty crappy myself at the beginning. So people could rant. If you found it, you know where to find us. Just hang out over to mwcconnection.com. Twitter's MWC Connection, or your new name. Is your thing a public account now?
Yes, it is.
Okay, to make it sure before I split it out there. Matt of Action, check that out. I was making sure because you had a private account before. Didn't want to mention it if people want to check you out for Fresno-related stuff, or if you tweet about anything else. So that's all I got for tonight. So join us next time, and yeah, everybody have a good weekend. Hope everybody's team does well.